Welcome to WaveWriter Midday Wave, your mid-session market intelligence. Let's dive in.
59 bulls, 226 bears, only 35% of stocks above their 20-day moving average. It is midday on March 6th, crude oil is above $79.50, and look, the Iran conflict just became the most important variable in your portfolio. This is the WaveWriter Midday Wave.
Yeah, and those numbers tell the whole story right there.
Walk me through the tape right now. Indexes, breadth, what the internals are actually saying.
Okay, so we're looking at the S&P down 1.2 to 1.5%, NASDAQ off roughly 1%, but the Dow is leading losses near negative 2%. And here's the thing, there have been zero meaningful bounce attempts.
Zero bounce attempts at all?
Zero. The selling has been consistent and methodical. Now, when you look at breadth, that 4% bull-bear ratio, 59 bulls versus 226 bears, that's a sentiment reading at just 4%, well below the bearish 40-session moving average.
Wait, 4% sentiment? That's not just bearish, that's approaching capitulation territory. Is this a washout signal or something more structural?
That's the key question, and I think it's structural. It's like, okay, think of it like walking into a stadium where for every fan cheering, nearly four are booing. The crowd has decisively turned. But here's what makes this different from a washout. The nine-month trend shows 11 bulls versus
17 bears. Yeah, I was going to ask about that.
Exactly. This isn't a one-day flush. This is sustained deterioration since late February happening on multiple timeframes simultaneously.
Okay, but 11 versus 17 over 9 months, I mean, is that actually that alarming? Walk me through why that matters today specifically.
Because when both the short-term daily reading and the intermediate nine-month trend are simultaneously negative, it confirms the damage isn't cosmetic. We're not looking at a single bad session that bounces back tomorrow. This is structural breakdown. Only 35% of stocks trading above their 20-day moving average. That's like discovering cracks in the foundation while the roof is already leaking.
Right, right. So where is the one place in this tape that's actually working?
Energy. RSPG equal weight energy at percentile rank 80, near multi-month highs at plus 415. Complete opposite of tech, RSPT equal weight tech at percentile rank just 3, down 59 basis points.
That's a 50-point gap in percentile rank. That's not a rotation. That's a different universe.
Exactly. And yesterday's software breakout that looked promising, it's now confirmed as cold ash. One-day wonder in a hostile tape. Energy is the one sector working. Let's go inside the specific names. Which setups are holding up? Which are the highest conviction? And what are the exact levels that matter? But look, before we get too deep into the macro, I want to talk about the specific names, because there are a couple of setups that are actually working right now, and the levels matter a lot here.
Okay, let's get specific. Which names?
LNG, Cheniere Energy at 256.25, up 2.7%. It's the highest conviction name because you've got both the macro tailwind and the sector tailwind working simultaneously.
What makes LNG the standout over ESLT? I mean, ESLT is up 5%. 5% is 5%. Why wouldn't you just take the bigger mover?
You know, that's the right challenge. ESLT is impressive. Elbit Systems at 932.75, up 5% on the Iran escalation. But LNG has a cleaner uptrend and a defined sector tailwind. It's not just a stock move, it's a thesis move. With ESLT, you're basically betting the geopolitical headline stays hot all afternoon.
Huh. Okay, that's a real distinction.
The volume tells the story, too. LNG's RVOL at 0.8. This isn't a panic-driven spike. It's measured institutional accumulation. The price action is doing the work, not a volume surge. Key intraday support at 253. If crude holds above 78.50 and LNG stays above its opening range, afternoon continuation is legitimate. It's like the one house on the block with sandbags during a flood.
And ESLT, 8.5% ATR and 132% risk level. How do you actually size into something like that?
You don't go full size, that's for sure. At 132% risk, you're sizing this at half position or less with a hard stop defined before entry. You can be right on direction and still get stopped out if you're oversized. The ATR demands respect. But when you see an 8.5% ATR move in a defense stock during a geopolitical crisis, it's like a fire truck racing through traffic. It tells you the situation is real and institutional money is responding, not just speculating.
PLTR is positive while the NASDAQ fades. You mentioned institutional backing. Is that the common thread between PLTR and LNG that GPS and GPRO don't have?
That's exactly the common thread. PLTR at 156.39, up 2.4%. What LNG and PLTR have that GPS and GPRO don't is institutional ownership acting as ballast. In a tape this negative, retail-driven names have no gravitational resistance. Institutional backing is the only thing keeping select names above water.
And even that has limits, right? Like if NASDAQ accelerates lower.
Yeah, even PLTR's relative strength won't hold. Key support is 154. The morning low is the line between healthy consolidation and momentum fade. It's like the last strong swimmer in a riptide. Impressive, but even the strongest swimmer has limits if the current intensifies.
Okay, so let's look at the names that had catalysts, earnings, breakouts, and still failed. GPS, GPRO, what went wrong and what is the volume confirming?
GPS, Gap Inc. at 27.20, down 195 from the open. Worse than expected Q4 with weak guidance. It gapped up on the headline, then reversed hard as traders read the details.
Classic bull trap.
Classic failed earnings setup. The gap up was the invitation to get trapped. It's like opening an umbrella just as the wind rips it inside out.
Okay, so the gap up was the trap, and the squeeze risk on GPS, when does that actually kick in?
Here's the thing. With 9% short float and a stock that's already reversed hard, the shorts who got in at the open are sitting on gains. They have every incentive to cover into weakness, and that covering can create a violent snapback. The setup had its moment at the open. Chasing the short now means you're the last one in when that covering starts. Not a good risk reward.
And then GoPro. Wait. Zero institutional ownership at all? Like none?
None. GoPro at $1, down 12.28% from the open. Mixed Q4, weak guidance, down 67% from its 52-week high. Zero institutional fund ownership means there is no floor. Institutions are the buyers of last resort in a sell-off. When they're not in the name, there's no one with a mandate to accumulate on weakness. The stock can go wherever gravity takes it. And at a dollar? I mean, how much floor do you need to lose before it's just gone?
16% short float, though.
16.36% short float adds squeeze risk, but no structural support. Clear avoid. GPS and GPRO both prove the point. In a tape where breadth is this negative, even stocks with real catalysts cannot overcome the gravitational pull without institutional backing.
So this is not a tape for bottom fishing.
Not at all. The volume pace in selling names is elevated and consistent with distribution. This is not a dip buying environment.
The message from the internals, the failed setups, the volume, it's all consistent. Let's build the afternoon playbook. What are the two variables you're watching into the close?
Crude oil direction and Iran headline flow. Crude above 78.50 keeps energy leadership intact and LNG continuation legitimate. Below it, the last pocket of strength loses its floor.
And the headlines?
Iran headlines are basically binary. Escalation accelerates selling. De-escalation could produce a sharp but likely unsustainable bounce. My afternoon bias is bearish to cautious. Breadth is too damaged for aggressive long positioning.
Okay, so what are the actual levels you're watching?
LNG, 253. Below this, the Iran tanker thesis is fading in the price.
Got it.
PLTR, 154. The morning low. The line between consolidation and momentum fade.
Sure.
And crude, 78.50. That's the floor for the entire energy thesis. Everything else is noise if that breaks.
The February jobs report is out tomorrow. Is there a clean, bullish read on that data in this environment?
Honestly, no. A weak number tomorrow confirms the slowdown narrative and likely extends today's losses. A strong number is complicated. It reduces rate cut expectations, which is also not great for equities right now.
So it's either bad or complicated. There's no good version of that number right now.
The market is being squeezed between geopolitical uncertainty and economic data uncertainty simultaneously. It amplifies volatility potential into the close and overnight.
What's the capital preservation framework here?
Cash is a position. Reduce size, protect capital, let energy do the heavy lifting if you must be long. Today's market is like driving in a hailstorm. You can still move forward, but only if you slow way down and accept that the conditions are in control, not you.
Discipline over aggression.
Yeah, and the thing about a hailstorm is, you can't negotiate with it. You can't be aggressive and hope it respects you. The conditions are what they are.
Crude above 78.50, Iran headlines, and the jobs report. Those are your three watches. In a tape with 59 bulls against 226 bears, the discipline is in what you don't do. Stay measured, protect capital, and we'll see you back here tomorrow. This has been the Wave Rider Midday Wave.
Protect the capital. Stay sharp out there.
That's all for today's episode of Wave Rider Midday Wave, your mid-session market intelligence. See you next time.